All right. So yeah, I was going through some recent cases, and you know, sometimes you just hit one that kind of brings a bunch of legal ideas together. And I think this Sixth Circuit decision, United States v. Veach, it's one of those,
Yeah.
you know, especially for law students out there grappling with criminal law right now.
Yeah, absolutely. This case really does a great job of highlighting
This is one to pay attention to.
some of these core principles we talk about, like the whole idea of intent in criminal law and the different flavors of intent, specific intent versus general intent. We also see the role of intoxication as a potential defense and how that plays out. And then you even have some interesting evidentiary issues, right? Like what evidence is admissible, what kind of cross-examination is allowed.
Totally. And then to top it all off, we get into the whole world of sentencing guidelines and how something like a DUI can end up being classified as
Crime of
a crime
violence,
of violence.
which has huge implications for sentencing.
So to set the stage, this all started with Darwin Veach, who was involved in a car accident in Cumberland Gap National Historic Park. Seems pretty routine. But when park rangers got involved, they suspected he might have been intoxicated.
Yeah, standard procedure.
Gave him some sobriety tests, which
Which he did not pass,
he didn't pass.
I have
And
to say.
and then things kind of went downhill from there. He allegedly made threats to the officers and resisted arrest.
And that's what really landed him in hot water, legally speaking.
So those actions led to federal charges under two main statutes.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really interesting. The first charge was under 18 U.S.C. Section 111A1,
Right.
which deals with resisting a federal officer. And the key thing here is it's what we call a general intent crime.
Yep.
The second charge, under 18 U.S.C. Section 115A1B, was for threatening those officers with the intent to, impede their duties. And that one hinges on the idea of specific intent.
So we already have two different types of intent at play here.
Yeah, right off the bat. And then it gets even crazier.
Go on, go on.
When it came to sentencing, Veach was initially given a whopping 80 months in prison.
80
80
months.
months, yeah.
Wow.
And the reason for that was
This is where it gets tricky.
he was designated as a career offender because of his prior DUI convictions.
So this is where people start to scratch their heads, right?
Right. You think, how does DUI suddenly lead to this kind of enhanced sentence?
How did we get here? Well, the sentencing guidelines, specifically USSG section 4B1.2A2, define a crime of violence as including offenses that have a serious potential risk of physical injury. And the argument here, which the Sixth Circuit ultimately agreed with, is that a DUI, especially when you're talking about a repeat offender, a fourth DUI offense, like in this case, that
It's
qualifies
a crime of
as a
violence.
crime of violence.
Wow. Okay, so that's a lot to unpack, and that's exactly what we're going to do in this deep dive.
Let's break it down.
We want to understand why the Sixth Circuit partially reversed the lower court's decision and what this whole case means for how we think about criminal laws and how those sentencing guidelines actually get applied.
Because, like you said, there are a lot of moving parts here.
So much.
It's a fascinating case.
So to start us off, can you walk us through the distinction between general and specific intent, as it applies to these charges against Veach?
Sure. So let's take the resisting arrest charge first. That's the one under Section 111A1. And like you mentioned, that's a general intent crime, which basically means that the prosecution, they just have to prove that the defendant intended to do the act of resisting. They don't necessarily have to prove that he had some ulterior motive or some very specific goal in mind.
So in this case, even if Veach was intoxicated, if he deliberately tried to stop the officers from doing their job, that could still be enough for conviction.
Exactly. It's all about that intentional act of resisting, the physical act itself.
It's the defiance itself. Okay, so now let's compare that to the other charge, the threats charge under Section 115A1B. This one, you said, is a specific intent crime. What's the difference there?
With specific intent, the prosecution has a higher bar to clear. They have to prove that the defendant not only did the act, but that they did it with a specific mental state in mind, a specific goal in mind. And in this case, the statute itself is very clear. It uses the words with intent to impede, intimidate, or interfere. So the prosecutors, they had to show that Veach's purpose behind making those threats was specifically to get in the way of the officers doing their job. It wasn't enough to just prove he said those words.
It's the why behind the threat.
Exactly, the intended outcome.
Okay, I see the difference. So how does Veach's claim of intoxication play into all of this?
This is where things get even more interesting. You see, there's this legal principle that voluntary intoxication can sometimes be used to negate the specific intent needed for a crime.
Oh, interesting.
The idea is that if someone is drunk enough or high enough, they might not actually be able to form that specific mental state that's required for the crime.
So they lack the capacity.
They lack the capacity, right?
Okay.
But here's the catch. That same defense usually doesn't work for general intent crimes.
So it wouldn't fly with the resisting charge?
Not so much, because the thinking there is if you choose to get drunk or high, that in itself is a kind of recklessness, and that recklessness is enough to meet the lower standard of general intent.
Ah, so it's almost like you're taking on that risk.
Exactly. Wow. So in Veach's case, his defense argued that because he was intoxicated, he couldn't have formed the specific intent to hinder the officers when he allegedly made those threats. They weren't saying he didn't say anything, but that he wasn't thinking clearly enough to have that specific intention.
And the Sixth Circuit actually agreed with him on that point, right?
Yep. They said the trial court messed up by not letting him present evidence about his intoxication to support that argument about his diminished capacity.
Okay, but hold on. The conviction for resisting arrest, the general intent crime, that was upheld.
Right. Because like we talked about, voluntary intoxication usually isn't a valid defense when it comes to general intent. The court was very clear in drawing that line between the two charges based on the level of intent needed for each.
This is where it gets really granular.
It does, and it's why understanding the precise wording of these criminal statutes is so important. You have to know exactly what level of intent the prosecution has to prove.
Okay, so we've got intent, we've got intoxication.
Uh-huh.
What about the whole issue with the cross-examination of one of the officers, Officer Bradford?
Oh, right.
What was going on there?
So during the trial, Veach's lawyers, they wanted to ask Officer Bradford about what she observed about Veach's behavior the day after the incident. Mm. They were trying to suggest that if he seemed calm and cooperative the next day, maybe that casts some doubt on whether his threats the day before were really meant to intimidate or impede the officers in the long run.
Like, was he really serious about it?
Yeah, was there a genuine intent behind those threats?
Right.
But the judge put some limits on this line of questioning, which the Sixth Circuit later said was a mistake.
Interesting.
They said that Officer Bradford's observations about his behavior the next day, that could have been relevant to understanding the credibility of his threats and whether he really meant them in that specific way the law requires.
But if I'm following this correctly, the Sixth Circuit also said this error was harmless when it came to the resisting arrest conviction.
You got it.
How does that work?
Well, they reasoned that while limiting the cross-examination wasn't ideal, it didn't actually prejudice Veach's defense against that specific charge. Remember, resisting arrest is a general intent crime.
Right.
So the focus there is on the act itself, did he resist or not? Not so much on his long-term intentions.
But was it harmless for the threats charges?
No, because for those charges, his specific intent was a key element that the prosecution had to prove. And the Sixth Circuit felt that by preventing the defense from exploring this line of questioning about his subsequent behavior, combined with not being able to use the intoxication evidence, that really hampered his ability to defend himself against those specific charges. So they ended up reversing those convictions and sending the case back for a new trial on those counts.
So essentially, two wrongs made a right.
Or in this case, two wrongs made a reversal.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they both contributed to an unfair trial on those specific intent charges.
It really highlights the importance of evidence and procedure.
It does, and it shows how appellate courts look at the overall fairness of a trial.
Yeah, totally. Now, one last thing I wanted to touch on is the whole career offender designation. And how the Sixth Circuit upheld that DUI can be considered a crime of violence for sentencing purposes. That part of the decision has drawn some criticism.
It has. It's a complex issue with some serious implications.
Can you explain how they reached that conclusion?
The sentencing guidelines define a crime of violence in a few different ways. But one way is if the crime presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. And the court here really zeroed in on that language. They basically said that a fourth DUI offense, that's a felony in Kentucky, and driving under the influence by its nature creates a serious risk of hurting someone.
So it's not about whether Veach actually caused harm in his previous DUIs.
Right.
It's more about the inherent danger of driving drunk.
Precisely. And to back up their reasoning, they brought in the Supreme Court's decision in Begay v. United States, In that case, the court was trying to figure out what counts as a violent felony under a different law, the Armed Career Criminal Act. And they said one key factor is whether the crime generally involves purposeful, aggressive, violent behavior. And the Sixth Circuit here argued that DUI fits that bill because of the high risk of causing serious injury or death.
So DUI falls into that same general category.
Yeah, that was their logic.
It's definitely food for thought.
It is, and it shows just how broadly that term crime of violence can be applied, which has a huge impact on how people are sentenced.
Yeah. So to recap everything we've covered in our deep dive today.
Let's do it.
The Veach case really hinges on that difference between general and specific intent. We saw how intoxication as a defense plays out differently depending on which type of intent is required.
And how important it is to understand the specific language of the criminal statute.
Absolutely. We also saw how appellate courts scrutinize evidentiary rulings and how limiting cross-examination, especially when combined with other issues, can lead to a reversal of convictions.
Yep.
And finally, we explored that controversial decision to uphold DUI as a crime of violence under the sentencing guidelines, which highlights just how impactful those guidelines can be.
It was a very thorough decision.
So for all of you listening out there, I want to leave you with a couple of questions to think about.
Always good to ponder.
As you continue your legal studies, how might this distinction between general and specific intent show up in other areas of criminal law?
That's a great question.
And what are the broader implications, societal and legal, of labeling offenses like DUI as crimes of violence?
Definitely something to consider.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers, but it's definitely worth exploring further.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me.
It was a pleasure.
This was a great discussion.